substitute sacrifice for our sins, so that we might be partakers of the divine nature, so that we might be partakers of all the riches that you have brought us in salvation. We thank you for taking us that we're not your people and making us your people. Thank you for being rejected so that we can be accepted by the Heavenly Father and have a perfect relationship with the God of the universe. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work that you do through your Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for being present with us every step of the way, whether we recognize it or not. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we rest in that promise this morning. God, I pray that you'd minister to every person's heart in this room the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that you'd bless our children as they go to junior church and speak to their hearts and raise them up to be arrows for your kingdom, God. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing that PJ has been to us and to many in Latvia. And I pray that you'd guide her by your hand as she comes to share your word with us. She comes to share her testimony and what you've been doing in her life. And God, I pray that these things that she says would stick in our hearts, that we might be faithful, devoted followers of you for the rest of our lives. And we might be encouraged by your powerful working of grace within us. Thank you for calling us to salvation. Thank you for bringing us here today. And I pray that you bless every person in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And we have a young lady that's coming to share with us today who has served the Lord for so many years and has often inspired my heart. She's the kind of woman of faith that will give up everything, even her own mattress and bed, so that she can provide for the needs of others. And come on up, PJ, and let's give her a hand. And if somebody could help, I'll take this. I'll take this and then, yeah. Okay, I'll fix it for you. So you need to put your passport in.
Glory be to God. This is a sweet spirit in this church. I'd like to thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
For allowing me to be here for this time, this morning. And thank you all for being here. If you get blessed today, glory be to God. Because he is still in the miracle business. Your songs blessed me so much today. I don't know if I can speak or not, Pastor. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster." You know, sometimes when we have disasters, we wonder if this is really God's plan and what's going to happen. How is he going to make this something good come out of this terrible situation? But he does many times. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself first, but not very much, because there's too many, you know, when you're 85 years old, there's too many things to tell, and you've got to tell the latest that's coming, that's happening, and I have some very good news for you. And, Pastor, it's not even like you think it's going to be. It's going to be different. I married and had four children, and perfect children, right? When I was 46 years old, three of my four children were in the universities. Two were at Marshall and one at Glenville State. I was working three jobs. I acquired an illness called lupus. It can attack anything in your body. It attacked my kidneys and my eye. My doctor said I was going to die. I had so many things wrong with me that he said that it was not possible, that I was like a time bomb ready to explode. And there were many churches praying for me. And I had this disease for 5 years. I started getting better, and I knew that I was going to do something for Jesus. You know, Proverbs says our life is like a puff of air. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We don't have very much time on this earth. You know, you might think, oh, I've got several years, but we don't have a promise of tomorrow. And God showed me just how short life can be. In 1992, I went on several short mission trips to Ukraine, and Christianity had not been allowed publicly during Soviet time, and we were in Dnipropetrovsk and Kharkov and other cities, and I'll show you that a little bit in the slides. And look at Ukraine today. You know now what's happened. What if no missionaries had ever gone there? But a lot of missionaries went there during that time, and Crew used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. Crew had a group going, and I went with them to Ukraine one time, and they were there to teach teachers Christianity so they could teach it in the classroom. And on the convocation that I was on, there was 450 teachers, and they did many of these things, many of these convocations during that time. So there was a lot of Bible taught during those years. In 1996, I signed up with Crew. And because I had lupus, they were not going to let me go. But by God's grace, I did. And I was with Crew for 3.5 years. And then in the year 2000, my translator from Crew, Dotsy, she heard on the radio that the women during the Soviet Union time, 90% of them had abortions. And that touched my heart. But I didn't know how I could help them because I didn't have any experience in that. But step by step, God showed me how I could help. So with the desire to help these ladies and during Soviet time, and God sent me to Latvia, I started Life is Precious in America, and then I took these statues to Latvia and registered the Life is Precious in Latvia. So I want to tell you how I got started there. It's just a miracle by the grace of God that I did. And that's, you know, God opens doors for you when you're going to serve Him. He will open the doors. He already has other people's laying things on other people's mind, too, to work with you. And so I was going to the Matthew Church, and so I said to Pastor Bostic, I had this on my heart that I wanted to have a conference, and I wanted to have a conference about post-abortion trauma healing so that the mothers would know that God forgives them. He loves them. So I said to Pastor Bostic, Pastor Bostic, what do you think about me having a conference here for post-abortion trauma healing? And he said, oh, that's a great idea. And he said, while you're at it, in the same sentence, he said, while you're at it, why not talk about cohabitating and about the incurable diseases and the deadly diseases? I was like, now I didn't know what to say. I was just really surprised that he was going to let me do this. So I went back to my apartment, and I thought about addiction to pornography because that was terrible too and still is. So I called him and I said, can we talk about this too? And he said, PJ, you can talk about anything you want to. You see, God laid this on my mind, but he also laid it on Pastor's mind to accept this idea. So we don't have to be concerned about whether God wants us to do something or not. If it's his will, it's going to happen. So with this idea that he told me I could talk about anything I wanted to, I took advantage of it, and also had the lecture about protecting children, evil abuse. And that conference was a 2-day conference. There's like 150 ladies, that people there, and so many deep dark secrets were revealed. Whenever you have a conference like this, I'm sorry, the tears. And so after I had that conference, consequently, there were other churches that started inviting me to their church to have this conference. And that's how God works, you know. He just opens doors. And then there were teachers going to these churches, and they started asking me to speak in their schools. So it went on and on for a long time, for many years. And so one other story I need to tell you is that Pastor Bostick also told me about a Christian gynecologist, and so I wanted to get in touch with her because National Institute of Health has a video about the baby in the womb, and that the heart starts beating between the 18th and the 23rd day, and that's before mother and father even know they're pregnant. And I had the idea that I could show this video to teachers that wanted to have abortions, and so I had this idea, and I told this gynecologist about this, and so she asked me to come and speak to her staff of 5 gynecologists. You know, I'm just a little country girl raised up on pinto beans and cornbread, and I had no place to sit with 5 gynecologists and speak on their terms. But she asked me to be there, and what her idea was that the National Institute of Health and the National Health and the National Institute of Education had asked her clinic to go to schools and teach teachers about pregnancy and abortion. And she taught about pregnancy, and she wanted me to teach about the psychological effects of abortion. And so that, again, is a miracle of God that I got to do that. So there were hard times in 2006, 7, 8, and 9, and I was doing some conferences in churches on Saturday once a month. There would be like 200, 250 families there because there was a lot of poor people, a lot of hunger during that time. And then also we have this book, the Latvian book. I wanted to tell you about this Shady People book in English. We translated that book into the Latvian language, and we have given that book out many times. But also, the people started asking for it in Russian. And so I want to tell you a little story inside of a story, okay? I hope I don't get lost. In 2008, a pastor called Nikolai, he asked me to come to a summer camp where he had 50 teenagers and talk about the development of the baby and psychological effects of abortion. And he had a daughter there that was 12 years old, okay? And now fast forward to 2024, last year. People were knocking on doors and asking for money and saying they were Ukrainians because people, the Latvians, felt sorry for Ukrainians, and so they would say they were Ukrainians to get money, and it was a fraud thing, of course. And so I said, you know, well, we won't answer our door. We know we have appointments with our clients, and we know when they're coming. But one day there was a knock, and then they knocked a second time, and then they knocked a third time. And I said, okay, I'll answer the door. And this young lady says, I'm Nikolai's daughter. And I said, oh, my goodness, I've only known one person named Nikolai in all the years I've been here. And I said, is your mother's name Patricia? And she said, yes. Well, my sister's name is Patricia, so I remembered that because Patricia is not a typical name in Ukraine. And so, of course, I invited her in, and we're talking, and she wants to know what I'm doing, and I'm telling her that I'm helping mommies and trying to help mommies not have abortions, and showing mommies their baby on the ultrasound screen. And I had this English Shady People book laying on my desk, and I said, we translated this book into Latvian, and I said, I've been asked to translate it in Russian yet, but I just haven't done it yet. And she said, oh, I'll translate it in Russian. Please let me translate it in Russian. I would love to translate it in Russian. So, you see, God sent me somebody right at my door that I hadn't seen for like 17 years and had lost track of him to translate this book into Russian. And she's a teacher, and guess what she teaches? Russian and English. So how perfect is that? So in 2020, I was 80 years old, and I've been praying for a long time for this person to take over long before I was 80. I was praying for somebody to take over this ministry in Latvia because a lot of people told me I can't close it. It's helping a lot of people, but they're not in my place, you know. They're not 80 years old. So I'm praying for somebody to take it over. And if they don't, somebody does not take it over, then I will have to liquidate. And you know, I'm okay. Whatever God wants to do, I'll turn it over to somebody or I'll liquidate. I was content. I was just ready, waiting on the Lord. So I'm looking for the person that maybe God is putting in my path. So in February 2021, we had published the Shady People book in Latvian, and I was on fire to get it out to in the hands of mothers with children that were 4 years of old or older, and also there are 10 points in the back for teens and young adults. So I had given a book to a local church, and they received it so graciously, I realized this is it, churches. This is a good place to put this book. The churches have this thing where a lot of churches in Latvia has this thing where after the preacher preaches, they're not finished. People can come up and say some things tell some stories about something they're doing or something in this city and give people other information that will help them. And everybody stays. Nobody leaves. And so we got a lot of opportunities to talk in churches that way. But first of all, before I did that, this young lady, 40 years old, came in my office, and she had a little disability, but that was okay. She was very good on the computer, and so I was ready to work with her. And I thought, who am I to say this is not the person God has for this ministry? And so, long story short, we made appointments to speak to different churches almost every Sunday for 1 year. And so that was really rewarding time to get this information out to people about Shady People and to help us be able to protect children teenagers. So this made a great awareness to educate and save little children. We left a book with every church, and always another mother or two wanted a book also. So even though Shawnee could not handle the stress of this office, our time was not wasted. Several hundred people heard the truth about this evil human trafficking business. So our God... I decided I will liquidate, okay, because she could not take care of the office. It was her idea. But before I liquidate, I need to shred files from 30 years. It's against the law to not dispose of them safely. So a volunteer named Marita called me from a crisis center who had a mother she was helping who needed formula for her baby. So when they arrived, I explained to Marita, this is confidential office, and I see mothers alone. And Marita said she insisted I be with her because she's shy. So learned from Marita that she signed up. That Marita signed up with a program to be a volunteer, and she had a shirt that said volunteer on the front. And I said, like, who do you help? Who are you helping? She says, well, I help a lot of young mothers at the crisis center and try to encourage them. And she said, sometimes I help elderly people. And jokingly, I said, oh, you can help me. And we laughed, you know. And in the course of our conversation, I had said I was working toward retiring and going home. And so later that evening, Marita called me and she said, PJ, I really can help you. You're trying to go home and I can do some of the things that you're doing so that you can work on your papers. And so I needed some translation. And so she helped me like 3 or 4 hours a day, a couple of days a week. Often she would translate for clients, seeing that Marita really began to love on these clients with compassion for their situations. I said to Marita, maybe you would like to take this over, this ministry over. She declared many times positively no. She had a little self-employed side business and helping her husband and 4 children in school and volunteering for the crisis center once a week, and that was enough. So when Marita would come to the office, you know, we would always pray and talk some about Jesus and talk about different Bible verses. And so after she had only been there a couple of weeks, I had invited her to go to church with me one Sunday, and she said yes. I didn't know she didn't go to church because we hadn't really been together that long. So consequently, I led her family to church. They're not all saved, but children had never been in church before, and they're all in church now. Marita volunteered for me for over a year for about 10 hours a week. So now I'm at the point I'm ready to liquidate again. And so I called the lawyer, and he said, we met, and he said it takes 7 months to liquidate, and there are 6 steps, and bank has to be closed on the 2nd step, and okay, how do you pay rent for the other months while you're there? I need to talk this over with my board, and I did not want to leave until it was finalized, because people have your information, can borrow money on your organization, and that's a fraud thing that happens in Latvia. So then the lawyer wanted to know what all we do in this office. So I tell him about helping mommies and the ultrasound machine. And he says, my wife Ilza and my daughter, who is a teacher, might want to do this. And I'm saying, really? And so, again, who am I to say this is not the person God wants, right? And so we met, and Ilza is a beautiful, sweet person. She says, you got to tell me everything, how to talk to these mommies. She said, I want to help so bad. She said, I raised my 4 children. It was all about them, but now I want to help these mommies. And she said, I don't know anything in the office. I've never worked before. And so I realized that she needs to know about Forgiven and Set Free, about the post-abortion trauma healing classes, 9-week classes, because she also, in the course of our conversation, learned that she had had an abortion. So I did have to have these classes. I had this happened right in February, March, and April, actually March, April, and May, that I had these 9 classes. And as it turned out, you know, God again works things out for His honor, for His glory, for His kingdom. And I had met 3 or 4 other ladies about that time in different areas. And one lady, her name is Laura, she had depression for 10 years, and during that she was a journalist, and then she had depression for 10 years, and during that 10 years she had her 4 children, and then she is now speaking on Christian radio and interviewing highly educated people with great positions who have had abortion, and they're saying they're sorry, and it's making a big impact on the audience, because people are calling in and saying this is really, really impressive. This is really helping. This is really helping people to realize that abortion is wrong. And then there was Ilona, who I'm praying a lot with because she too has devastating problems, she needed to be my translator. I needed a translator, so I asked her to be the translator because I knew she needed this Bible study too. And then Marita said, I told Marita what we were going to do, and she said, I want to go to this too. So there's four ladies, you know, and all four of them, as it turned out, as I learned during the 9 weeks, they all four needed this Bible study very much. And so God put this together. After the last class, I take these four ladies to lunch to celebrate God's unspeakable forgiveness and redemptive love. But, you know, these four ladies, I think God did not put these four ladies together without a great purpose. Because, as it turned out, Ilza is not the person that's going to take over the office after all. And that's what I'm saying, Pastor. As we're talking, and so I took them out to lunch, and we're talking, and I said, I have 13 mommies next week. What days can you come, Ilza? We're all talking about how everybody wants to help in this ministry. And so she looks at her calendar and she says, well, I can't come Monday, I can't come Tuesday, I can't come Wednesday, I can't come Thursday. And so she can only come Friday. And that's just not enough to head up this office, you know. So she realized that she cannot handle this office. So Ilza is not going to be the person in the office after all. And then what happened next just really shocked me. Marita says, I want to do this. And I said, what? I've been asking you all year if you want to do this. And Marta said, I've only been thinking about it lately. She said, after these Bible studies and conferences that you had, she said, I want to do this. So how does God do that? You know, this just happened out of the blue. Just absolutely, I could have never thought of this because I had already asked her. And so this Bible study was not in vain, for sure. And I think God brought it together because God knew that Ilza was not going to do this. He used her for all of the ladies who needed this Bible study. Marta will be the missionary in Latvia for Life is Precious, and I will be the missionary in the USA to help her. So we know this missionary. You can go visit her. The building where our office is has rooms that you can rent for $30 a night. And that's better than $100 or $200 at the hotel. And you have access to a kitchen. And she's going to be speaking in schools. We have so many schools that's wanting us to come. And so, you know, what I did whenever people come to Latvia, I give them an opportunity to serve the Lord, to speak in a school. And if you have a story to tell, that you can talk and help somebody else. Like one mother said, she was adopted and she wanted to, find her birth mother so she could say, thank you for not aborting me. And so stories like that are very beneficial. Okay, I will show you some slides now. So open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of who are appointed to die. That's been our Bible verse. And, you know, usually you see the baby in the womb, but we say have a heart for the baby. You see Russia, air pointing toward Latvia. That's where I am. And then I have a pointer. Can you get the pointer for me? It's in the side pocket. It's in the side pocket, a pointer. Thank you so much. Get turned around. So here's Kharkov and Dnipropetrovsk and Zaporozhye, where we were there. And here is here's another area. Here's the capital of Ukraine. And of course, you know somebody very dear in this church that's from Ukraine. So these are the four ladies I just told you about. Martha will help me has been helping me for over a year. Ilza had a big heart to help mommies and had abortions shared her story biblically or publicly. And then Laura with who had depression and now doing the radio station. And then Ilona, who has many problems. This is Marita on the left. And then the blonde hair is Ilza, and I don't know who that lady is on the right. And that's Laura on the left with the Christian radio, and again Marita in the middle. And this is Ilona. And so all of these ladies have a big heart for this ministry, and of course Marita is the one that's going to be running it, but these other ladies will share some time. Marta helped me a lot this past year. Here we're coming back from the post office with a suitcase where we took some diapers to mail to one mommy who couldn't get to the office. And and this is Marta. We're at a church, a cult, actually. Don't get worried. Marita had brought one mommy to my office, and we asked her, "Where do you go to church?" And she said, I said, "Do you go to church?" And she said, "Yes." And I thought, "Oh, wow, you know, she goes to church." And I asked her where, and she said, "World Christ." Well, I knew that church was not a good church, so we went so that we could so we would know what was going on at that church and what they were teaching. So we could help her not go to that church. Pastor, I did something wrong. I slid my finger over here or something. Thank you. So simple. So this is Marita. She went to a school. And this is a biology teacher, and she gave a lot of biology teachers. They had a biology teacher conference, and she gave all these biology teachers a replicate of the little baby 3 months in the mother's womb. And so this is some of the work that she's going to be doing. And this is part of the conference that we were at. This is a women's retreat at the Matthew Church. And you see how tall the ladies are there, beautiful ladies. And then see that short American lady. So this is Marita and her husband. And this is their four children. They have a thing in Latvia where the first day of school you take your teacher a flower, even if it's just one flower. So I don't know. Oh, do you see the heartbeat? Watch. Did you see? I'll do it again for those who missed it. Up. I got to go back. You see it? this is a baby here, 10 weeks and 5 days. And so you can see the baby's completely developed, the head and the legs. This is our ultrasound machine in my office. And this is our entranceway where we have supplies to give away to mommies. This is where we bought a lot of school supplies for Ukraine, and this is pictures from Ukraine where we bought some supplies to give to them. And this is a mommy who was pregnant, and doctor gynecologist wouldn't answer her simple questions, and so she was looking online, and she found me, and she called, wanted to know if I would answer her questions. She came in and we talked about her pregnancy, and then she kept calling me and asking me questions, and I learned that she was involved in a cult. And so after I answered a lot of her questions about the cult that she was in, she said, can we do a Bible study? And I said, no, I don't do those things. No, of course. So we've been doing a Bible study now for about 2 years. And this is a conference that we had, and actually this was a prayer day where we prayed from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock one day for the conference. This young man was put in an orphanage when he was 3 months old, and when he was 14, nobody had adopted him, and he was concerned that he would that nobody loved him, and so he started cutting, and then he got saved, and now he's got his BA, and he's going for his master's, and he wants to be a preacher, and his studies is in theology, of course. Okay, is that all I have time for, Pastor? I can go on? Okay, thank you. So here he is. He works with orphans. Can you imagine? All these kids are orphans for camps that he works in all the time, and this is his heart. And these are orphans, and this is his family. I know his wife, Anna. I knew her when she was 18 years old. She went to the same church I did, and so have known her for years. And what she did when she was 18 and 19 years old, she would go to an orphanage and take two or three orphans home on Friday evening, do something with them on Saturday, take them to church on Sunday morning, and take them back to the orphanage that afternoon. The orphan director knew her, and so they let her do that because she was trustworthy, of course. But can you imagine? She spent some years doing that before she met her husband, and he was an orphan. And this is the Matthew Church. Look at those nice wood benches. Wouldn't you like to sit in that for an hour? This is a little bit about the city. You see the tram and then the car. The car comes right up through here. And then the bicycles over here, that's their right to ride there if they so choose to risk their life. And this is a lady that had 8 children, and her husband is working, but they have still having a very hard time. And then her sister got in trouble, and she had, actually, the law was going to take 2 of her sister's little babies away from her, so she took those 2 children. So she has 10 children, and there's 3 of them sleep in this thing, whatever it is. It's drawers that pull out on 3 different levels. And so I bought, they were sleeping on it like that, and so I bought mattresses and covers for them and so she's showing them here a picture of it. And this is the Shady People book. You can get this book on Amazon if you so choose, and mothers need to read this to their children and let their teenagers read the 10 points in the back. And this is in Shabigi Slovaki. Can you say that? Shabigi Slovaki. Shabigi Slovaki. This is a book that I've given hundreds of these to people. To everybody that comes to my office, they will get a little yellow book in Russian or Latvian or English one that shares the salvation story. And this is the Forgiven and Set Free book that I use, and this is written by Linda Cochran in the United States, who had 4 abortions and then became a Christian, and God laid it on her heart to write this book, and it's a wonderful book, a Bible study, and it's what I use to help women in Latvia. We also have a book for healing for father's hearts. You know, every mother that has an abortion, there's a father that has an abortion too, and fathers hurt too. Okay, I think that's all I have, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, PJ.
Except for this one little girl. Except for this one little girl. Her mother was going to have an abortion. And I told her I would help her with diapers and formula. And that was her biggest. The mother was also raised in the orphanage. And so she didn't think she could make it. So I helped her and said, this is her little girl, and isn't she beautiful?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, pastors always have a last slide or another point. So they had one more to give us.